Board. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Katrine with me. She is one of the co-founders of GynZone. Thank you, Katrine, for joining us today. I wanted to have her come on our show because GynZone is such an amazing service that's so focused in Europe right now. And I really think the power of what they're going to change in the world of the caliber of perineal repairs and recognition and just the outcomes that women sometimes have to suffer with long term that people just don't even realize. As midwives, we don't want to do harm. And so I know a lot of it's just the lack of understanding in our current educational system in the US, and I'm the innocent one around the world. So yes, Katrine, if you want to talk a little bit about GynZone and yourself.
Thanks for having me on. My name's Katrina, and I'm not a midwife. I'm a master of science in IT, and I specialize in virtual learning, virtual teaching. And my sister-in-law is a midwife, and she caught both of my sons way back. And when I graduated from university, she put me in touch with her colleague, Sarah, and said, she does something e-related, you should speak. And I had a cup of tea with Sarah some 10 years ago, and we've been working together ever since. So Sarah's the clinical brain of the outfit, and I'm the technical brain.
Well, and so I think it's interesting, Sarah, is she probably the only midwife in the entire world that has a PhD in suturing? Like, that's been my big question. I was going to wait for Sarah. Like, the level, like, I can't stress the level and caliber of education when you have a midwife that has a PhD in suturing.
It is kind of awe-inspiring, yeah.
So that is accurate. It is truly a PhD in suturing, and she's probably the only one in the entire world I know of.
Yeah, and we can forward you a link so you can read up on the whole thing if you're very interested in research into repair techniques for second degree lacerations.
Okay, perfect. So you guys met together, you had tea. How did the conversation go? Like, did Sarah just say, hey, I've got this idea, and you guys both pulled your skill sets together?
Well, the company was up and running, but rather young by then. We were just beginning to translate all of the content into English. We're based in Denmark, so we develop all new learning videos in Danish to begin with. Maybe we do the translation. So I got on board when we started dipping our toes into English and German, in fact. And the first thing I started doing was little promo videos, started editing video. And then we found out that when doing educational video, it's really nice to work with the best clinicians in the field and then have someone who's a non-clinician ask them questions. Because I would ask all of the questions that a student would be a little bit peeved about asking. So I would shadow some kind of clinician in their clinical work and in their teaching. And then I would cook up a manuscript based on what I had seen and heard them do. And I would introduce to them, I think this is what you mean. And we would then go over the manuscript together and correct things that I'd gotten wrong. But that way we are able to tap into really gifted clinicians who do not have the time to write a book or to do the courses themselves. So I'm sort of the go-between for our audience and the clinical staff that we work with.
Well, and I think giving yourself a lot of credit, the website design, the structure, when you and I met and you told me you had 1,000 videos and we were doing that first presentation, I had no idea the caliber of what I was going to be seeing. Like, just what you've set up, like, this is a custom-made website for midwives, like, just the littlest things. of like the video, how much blood's going to be on it, how discreet you need to be where you're watching this. And there's an app and it's interactive and you can save practically anything on notes and find it later. Like it's very impressive, the value of what you're paying and what you're getting for the membership. So if you want to talk a little more of the services, and that's my innocent. When I did the first meeting with you, I'm like, holy cow, they have figured it out. They are going to change midwifery education. They're going to change just the standards of what we have access to around the world. So I was very excited and felt blessed to meet you.
Thanks. Well, the website that you have seen is just a little over a year old and very much my brainchild. Because our old website had been in the air for 10 years when we started doing the new one. And websites are much like old houses. You know, you can get a new kitchen, you can move a door and move a window. And at some point you want to just torch the whole thing, raise it to the ground and start over. So that's what we did with the new website. And we've been able to incorporate lots and lots of the wishes that we've had from our thousands of users from all over the world. So we've been listening in a lot. And in terms of ease, clinical minded people are not the most tech savvy crowd. So we need to make it easy. Like we do a text message login so you don't have to remember a password.
Well, I think as healthcare providers, we have enough passwords to remember.
Yeah, and we really want to spend your effort in doing great clinical work and not in sort of being a halfway programmer on the side.
Yeah.
So lots of the things we put in there has been wishes from our community. Speed in videos, when we asked our students how they're doing for pace in our instructionals, all the students said it's a bit fast and they're insanely ambitious. They think they need to know everything in one video by the time they've watched it once. And when we speak to more experienced clinicians, they would say it's great videos, but can we pace it up a bit because we need to be a cesarean in like 20 minutes and we still want to finish the course. So we put in that you can, in the video there, you can decide for the speed anywhere between half pace and double pace in increments. And it will adjust the pitch. So the speaker will not sound like a Smurf if you dial it up. So it's been lots of little things like that. A decent search function that if you search for episiotomy or bulbar cavernosis or lidocaine or some such thing, like Google, even though you misspell a word, our site will still know what you're looking for and offer you the right results. And since some of these clinical expressions are a bit of a mouthful, frankly, to spell, that's just been a great help. The whole Netflix idea of the site remembering where you got to, because it's accessible from your phone, your laptop, your iPad, your work computer, wherever. So when you log in, you will have a, would you like to continue where you left off to get some decent continuity throughout the courses. So loads and loads of little things like that we've been able to build in, thanks to a really great team of programmers that I whip around in my little...
Well, I think it's so cool. You guys have such an amazing team and just the history. And I'll pick Sarah's brain when we chat with her another time, but just like learning, she saw a need, she figured out the business structure, what were the barriers, how do I make this happen? And so you guys have been around since 2008, so you're a well-established business and you're getting it to that next level of caliber versus it's just a baby in infancy. With the 1,000+ videos, what, I know like I saw you had water birth, like what other trainings do you have besides the main one I'm aware of, the suturing?
Yeah, the core thing that we started out with was perineal repair and everything that goes with it. So it's diagnostics, it's pain relief, it's repair, and it's follow-up. So that's sort of one big chunk, which is our main DNA in the campaign. That's where we started out, and it's still our main focus. And we've branched out a bit, looking into other modules as well. So we have one covering vaginal birth and hands-on technique and how to prevent lacerations, taking it slowly and all that. Hands-on for instrumental delivery in case you have to use a vacuum. We have a bit about episiotomy, indications, how to perform, and when not to do it, most importantly. We have a bit about water birth, as you mentioned, which is basically an introduction to the use of water, both for pain relief, but also for birth.
So birth. Is it pretty common in Denmark to have water births? Like, I guess just I'd love to learn a little more about the culture there.
I think nationally we're on a maybe 3 to 5%. In the hospitals, what you need to know about Denmark is that our health system is tax financed and with universal coverage. So anyone who's giving birth will likely be seen a few times from their family physician, and then midwives. And most people in Denmark give birth in hospitals in midwifery-led maternity wards. They have OBGYNs on call, but that's for if you have pathology. So everything...
Truly using the hierarchy of education, what it's supposed to be.
Everything's normal, which is a strange expression, but will be attended by midwives.
Okay.
So in hospitals that have lots of water births, they will be around 10%. We have another tax financed if you would like to birth at home. You are entitled to a hospital midwife coming out or a home birth midwife, again, paid through taxes. And we know the home birth group in Zealand who does most of the home births in the greater Copenhagen area, which is our capital. They have more than 50% water birth.
That's amazing.
So it varies hugely. And our module is sort of an introduction for people who are unfamiliar with the use of water, what you need to know about hygiene and baby monitoring and remember to feed the mom and birthing person and all of these things.
Well, I think it's amazing. Like just especially the level, you guys have 15,000 users, you're mostly in Europe because the healthcare system is so different. And so I think you and I, we talked about a month ago, just how do we expand into different cultures and regions and get more accessibility to midwifery education? I think that's the big kind of the ripple of how we're so in common, because with midwifery business consultation, I'm such a huge advocate for the business and professional development side, and you guys are such huge advocates for the clinical side. So it was like this perfect marriage to join together. Where do you guys see your services going? Because I know you do more free seminars, you do lots of interaction with the members. Where do you guys see the future? Like, is there any brainstorming cool ideas you and Sarah have been talking about recently?
We have, we call it our ideas drawer. We have a ton of ideas for modules we would like to do, organizations we'd like to work with, inventions. We have a little sister company, Volva Enterprise, where we develop perineal repair medical models that are affordable and non-animal. So we have no shortage of ideas.
It's just a matter of prioritizing them.
We only have like 50 hours to each day. So you'll have to make them count. And of course, finance is always interesting. But since our license model is that we sell multi-user licenses for our online learning to hospitals and universities on an annual or monthly subscription. So that's the majority of our income, and we can funnel all of that into developing new things.
Well, I think especially people think, well, especially in the United States, most of our births are in the hospital. The midwives are a minority of all of it. But the benefit of your system, the membership can be individual. It could be a school. It could be a hospital. It could, like, I love that it's not affiliated with a person. The user is just like in the United States, we call it like our licensure numbers with the electronic medical record system. So if someone comes and goes or students that graduates, the person that bought the package just gets a revolving user, which is so great with the system. And you guys have such a small team, and to have 15,000 users, it's a pretty good tech savvy system that you don't have to worry about too many hiccups in the backdrops. Yeah, and I think just even you and I had brainstormed in 2022, like expanding more hands-on training, because in the United States, we get a tiny bit in midwifery school, and there's such a, like you and I have talked about it, the culture in Sarah, that they're very open to question and to improve competencies and have someone double check things. And in the United States, there's more of this tension, like you need to be an expert, and you, it's rare you can ask for help. And if you ask for help, it's more of a, it's not looked at like only as a student you're allowed. And even as a student, like they're so busy. It's interesting, the culture here. So I think you guys are going to do a great job of giving midwives an opportunity to learn, but doing it at their own pace and having the experts, even if you want to do like a Q&A, how often do they do the live webinars part of the membership?
Well, we do sort of, we're great believers in mixed learning methods. I don't have the clinical background, but I am I'm a sailing instructor. And if you want to learn to tie knots, you need to tie a gazillion knots.
Yeah.
So what we hope to do is to empower people to teach them how to train, because it is a skill that needs honing and maintenance. We do hands-on workshops with about 1,000 participants every year here in Scandinavia. We have our orange suitcases, and we travel with all of the tools, the medical models, the sutures, and we hope and pray to get stopped in customs with all of our stunt vulvas, because we want the picture with the customs officer. No luck yet. During COVID, we started sending out boxes with the needle driver, what do you call those? Tweezers?
The ones that you just the pickups. Yeah, pickups.
Yeah. Sutures and the medical model to train on. And we've been doing online courses over Skype or over Zoom with participants at the other end of Scandinavia. And this is so highly sought after. So many clinicians want the hands-on courses with someone supervising their knot tying technique and correct and praise them when they're right. So scaling this is one of the biggest challenges for us, because when you do an online workshop, you need to have enough attention span for each participant.
Right. Yeah. Well, and part of the challenge is like, if they're like, can you look at this knot tying? If you're there, you can put your hands on, like, there's these levels, COVID and Zoom, we can adapt and adjust, but there's only so much to really like the hands-on portion. There's parts of midwifery skills that you need to practice with your hands.
You need to practice, but if you were supervising me,
that's true.
I could do my stitches here and you can supervise my knot tying.
Gotcha.
So Zoom can actually work wonders without the travel and without having to take an entire day out of your clinical or family life to go on a course. So we're definitely making the most of the silver lining that is to be had on COVID. But we are starting to schedule hands-on in-person courses again here for the fall.
Very, very excited. Well, I appreciate everything that you shared with me, Katrina. And GynZone is going to, it's 12 years in, and I see you being a 100-year company that just really is changing the caliber. And I'll definitely pick Sarah's brain when we chat, just the clinical component, because I think as midwives, midwives, the patient satisfaction, the potential complications. Like, there's so much with the suturing that we just don't give enough recognition how important it is to understand really the anatomy. And it's not just about tying a knot and picking, do you want chromic or vicryl? It's really about, did we put this anatomy back together?
And it's I think it's a really important feminist agenda that women who give birth are likely to want to have an intimate life in between and after birth. Right. And they're likely to want to jump on a trampoline with their kids and ride.
Not bikes. Worry about, yeah, kids laughing at them. Mm-hmm. I can personally vouch for that one. So. Because it is, we just don't give an, and women don't complain about those things, or they maybe don't recognize the correlation. They get told it's your mom had this problem, so now you have this problem, it's genetics. And we sometimes make up excuses. We don't even realize there's other causes of it. So
yeah, and women put up with a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit embarrassing and I won't tell anyone and I can't ask the doctor because he's such a nice guy. So we find that when I introduce myself in a company for a family dinner, and you know, what do you do? Well, I create online learning for doctors and midwives about repair of birth lacerations, and all of the stories come out. Like midwives, you get all the birth stories.
You get all the tears and all the complications.
I get the partners saying, "Oh my God. It was horrible and we didn't have a sex life for years and years." And there's so much life quality to be had here that I just cannot overstate how important I think it is.
Well, and I think half the challenge is you guys have the passion and the mission and you're going to make great things happen. So thank you so much for your time today, Katrine.
Thanks for having me.